Through the enduring popularity of science fiction, from Star Trek to Interstellar, the time travel has long since been a plot device beloved by writers and audiences alike. Yet it remains that a plot device, while space travel technology is still quite a few developments away from this actually happening. Could black holes hold the key to making what a science fiction pipe dream into a theoretically possible reality? Here to discuss this is Dr. Samuel Barron, Associate Professor of Philosophy at Australian Catholic University. Dr. Barron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a really interesting topic. It's as with most astronomy and space-based stories, it's piqued my interest. So just to get us started off, for people who might not be aware, in simple terms, what is a black hole?
A black hole is a very dense or massive region of space and time, usually produced by a star collapsing in on itself. And what happens is that when it gets super, super massive or super, super dense, it bends space and time around it in such a way that light can't escape, which is why they are black. It means that you can't, for instance, bounce a radio signal or a light beam off a black hole and see it. So we can only know that they're there by sort of inferring their existence based on the effect that they have on things around them, like light from distant stars might get gravitationally shifted or lensed in such a way that we sort of have evidence that there's some big object there that we can't see.
And so, just jump to the cut to the chase, then how could they be used for time travel?
Yeah, so they could be used for time travel because of this effect that they have on the universe around them. So since Einstein's theory of general relativity, we know that when you have mass and energy located in the universe, what it does is it bends the universe. So if you imagine the universe is like a sheet of fabric and you put something on the sheet of fabric, it's going to bend that sheet of fabric around it. And so when you put a massive object like a black hole into a region of the universe, it starts to bend the fabric of space and time. Now, you can kind of get a sense of how that might work by thinking about space. We can imagine how space bends. We can sort of, as I said, imagine a sheet of fabric or some other object that's bending. But what black holes do is they actually bend time as well. And this is a little bit harder to think about, a little bit harder to conceptualize. But the basic idea is that when you've got this massive object, it bends time in such a way that it loops back on itself. So if you imagine time as a line and you imagine bending that line right back around so that the start connects to the end, then that's sort of what black holes are going to do to time. And so they create these loops. And so in principle, if you could get on that loop, you could get in there at one point in time and emerge at another point in time, either in the future or the past.
That's pretty nuts. So outside of advanced enough space travel, what are the difficulties of actually harnessing time travel out of black holes?
Well, the big difficulty is that black holes tend to crush anything that comes near them. So a black hole has a thing called an event horizon, which you can think of as the point of no return. Also a great movie with Sam Neill. And what an event horizon does is once you sort of cross that boundary, you can't escape the black hole anymore. So this is the point at which, for instance, light can't escape. So there's a sort of region around a black hole where you might see light and things escaping. But then once you get close enough to it, you cross the event horizon and you can't escape. So that's fine. And in order to time travel, you would need to probably cross the event horizon to get into a black hole and to get onto one of these loops. But once you cross the event horizon, the crushing tidal forces and gravitational pressure that you'd be under would sort of squash you down to something about the width of an atom. So you'd turn into a very, very thin strip. It's sometimes called spaghettification because you turn into effectively a long string of atom-thick spaghetti.
That sounds like a pretty gnarly way to go. I mean, if there's any way that I'm going to go, I think getting spaghettified by a black hole might be up on the top of that list. So you've written about...
I mean, if you've got to pick one, yeah, why not?
It's a pretty great way to go. And you've written about and studied about the idea of timelessness. What does that mean? And would this change the concept of time that you would be traveling through if we could do this at all?
Yeah, so as you say, I've written a bit about the notion of timelessness, and this comes up in an area that is relevant to black holes, but it's a little bit to the side. So there's an area of physics called quantum gravity, and what quantum gravity is about is trying to reconcile our two best physical theories at the moment. So we've got two big physics theories. We've got general relativity on the one hand, and we've got quantum mechanics on the other. And so most of what I've been talking about so far has to do with general relativity, which is about the large-scale structure of space-time and how it bends and shifts in response to matter. But of course, we've got quantum mechanics, which is all about particles and how particles interact and, you know, things like quantum entanglement, and that's led to quantum computers and all that kind of stuff. At the moment, these two theories don't play very well together. And what physicists are trying to do is produce a new theory which reconciles both quantum mechanics and general relativity to give you an account of gravity at very, very small scales or high energies, so in the quantum domain. And one of the sort of places where this is expected to actually make a difference is with respect to black holes, because black holes are sort of, you can have a black hole that's predicted by general relativity, but it can be the size of something in the quantum domain. So it sort of is something that's studied by both theories. And so you want something that's going to unify the predictions of both with respect to you know, microscopic black holes. And so some of the ways of developing these theories, we don't have a full-blown theory of quantum gravity yet, although you've probably heard of string theory, which is what some people think is the best going option. But some of the theories of quantum gravity suggest that time doesn't exist at all. So one of the ways in which quantum mechanics and general relativity seem to conflict is over the notion of time. They use very different conceptions of time, at least on the face of it. And so some people have suggested, well, maybe time is the problem. We should remove time, and then we can get a theory that works. How does that interact with black holes? Well, it might be that at the end of the day, once we fully understand a black hole, time is not actually a feature that we need to understand how they work. And so it may be that we can't time travel at all. So there's a sort of an issue here about whether the prediction's coming from one theory, namely general relativity, or it's coming from some future theory like quantum gravity. And at the moment, we can sort of see black holes as time machines if we think about general relativity. But if we think about future physics, that might change. It just depends on how that physics actually gets worked out in the end and whether time remains in our final theory of physics.
So it's an interesting idea that something that we seem to have such a concrete and well-defined relationship to, like such a time, could be completely discarded in the end for when we try and unify these theories of the universe.
Yeah, and it gets worse than that. I mean, space might go as well.
Really?
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's not just time, but space itself. In general relativity, we have this thing called space-time, which is already a kind of merging of the two notions, everyday notions of space and time, into something completely new anyway. But in some theories of quantum gravity, they suggest that space-time is not a fundamental feature of the universe. And so we might lose space as well. And so, I mean, this is the sort of weird area that we're entering in with physics, is we're trying to develop this theory and some of the most fundamental concepts that we have are getting challenged in this really deep way. And it's not really clear how to understand either physics or the universe once that happens, which is sort of where I come in. I'm a philosopher. And so what I do is try to interpret and understand what this might mean for how we think about the world.
Well, I'd love to keep talking to you about this more, Samuel, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have. If I could go back in time, I would. but thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Cameron.
Bye. That was Dr. Samuel Barron, Associate Professor of Philosophy at Australian Catholic University, explaining how black holes could, but probably won't, be used to travel through time.